Acts 2:14, and then 22-24. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed a crowd. Down to 22. Men of Israel and women of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the time that is mine, I'd like to, and it's going to be about 40 minutes, Pastor Will. Amen. For the time that is mine, I'd like to speak to you from the subject of, but God. Or, if you will, I have a but God testimony. Let us pray. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, Lord, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need most precious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, Lord, I shall love need thee. Please, share, bless me now, my Savior, I come. Oh, Lord, I come. I come to thee. Gracious and merciful God, Lord, as I stand behind this distinguished pulpit, I recognize that I stand before an awesome God. You who are omnipresent and omnipotent, infallible in all that you do and say. Take this empty, broken vessel this morning, Lord, and use it for your glory. I'm getting out of the way that the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit may come into this place. Open hearts and minds as they receive your words today. Lord, and if there's anything that is not like you within me, Lord, throw it away. For I am human and I am broken, but I'm saved. And so thank you, God, for your salvific work in my life and in the life of this congregation. Now send the real preacher that the Holy Spirit might show up and take over. So Holy Spirit, take control. This is my prayer today. So let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. And the people of God, the ecclesia of God, join me in saying amen,
amen.
And amen. Our scripture lesson today reminds us of the overruling providence of God. We see Peter filled with the Holy Spirit as he tells all those listening to him on that wonderful day of Pentecost that regardless of what has happened, God is still in charge. Peter tells them that they are indeed responsible for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He tells them in no uncertain terms that a group of sinful men in high places determined that Jesus should be crucified, and the people agreed with them. And yet Peter reminds them that God's ultimate plan was the death of Christ for our sins, but most importantly, Christ's resurrection shows us that death no longer has power over us. In other words, we may do our best, but God, our worst, but God changes it for the best. Notice, if you will, Peter's declaration, but God. He says this in verse 24, but God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Now, my sister and brothers, there are a number of powerful two-word phrases in the Bible found in the Word of God. Phrases such as healed all, gathered in, cast out, raised up, pulled down. Each of these phrases are used in context with the power of God. However, there is one phrase used some 43 times in Scripture that, in my opinion, surpasses them all, Pastor Will. And that phrase is, but God. This two small word phrase communicates a tremendous message to all that will hear it. It is God's response to Satan's challenge. It is the bottom line. It is the last word. It is over. It is all over but the shouting. Why is this relevant for us today, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked me. It's relevant, sisters and brothers, because each of us have encountered situations where we just felt like throwing in the towel. We felt like the whole world was against us. We felt like no matter what we did, things would turn out bad. We've often said to ourselves, no matter what I do, things still won't change. Or we feel that we have gotten so far down that there's nothing else that could bring us up. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this morning, this is not so. But God, when viewed in relation to the challenges of life, what is up is to down. What life is to death. What in is to out. But God totally opposes the negative roar of the world. The world says no, but God says yes. The world says you can't, but God says you can. The world says won't, but God says you will. The world says stop, but God says go. The world says don't, but God says do. The world says defeat, but God says victory. But God climbs the highest mountain. But God crosses the darkest valley. But God sings songs of victory in the midnight hour. But God exclaims, I am going to the enemy's camp and I'm going to get back what he stole from me. But God is courageous. It's confident. It's conclusive. Sisters and brothers, you have to realize that what I'm speaking to you this morning is from God's perspective. You see, like the early disciples after the death of Christ on the cross, we look at things through our own lenses, and all we can see is failure. Why did Jesus have to die? The disciples asked.
Why did Jesus have to leave us alone after he promised he'd never leave us or forsake us? What are we going to do without him? They couldn't see the but God in their situation and in their current circumstance. What we need to know this morning is God does not prevent brokenness and sin in the world, but God in Christ Jesus using the brokenness and the sin for the good of God's people. But God allows us to experience a kingdom view of whatever it is we're dealing with. But God allows us to see, even in the midst of adversity, the injustice and the pain that we experience. But God always knows what's going on. He always knows what's happening. And God always has a response to it. Hello, somebody. God does not allow evil to triumph. We may put Christ to death on the cross, but God raises Christ to new life. These two words, but God, reminds us that God is able to turn darkness into light, hopelessness into hopefulness, and even death into new life. Now, I want you to notice in verse 23 and 24, Peter tells the crowd, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. I don't know about you, but that's some good news right now for my friends, because the reality of our situation shows us that every time we choose the world, death is the present reality. But when we choose life and we choose Christ over the world, we have new life. You see, sisters and brothers, God's plan for us in Jesus is life and life to the more. Regardless of what's going on in a world of doubt and fear and uncertainty and violence and injustice, God reminds us that in life in Christ breaks down the barriers and removes all the obstacles. But God restores. But God liberates. But God unleashes hope. But God removes doubts. But God gives us resurrection power to live. But God leaves it up to you and for me to choose life or go our own way. Have you heard the one about the eagle? Once an eagle was perched on the tip of an iceberg and floating swiftly downriver. The big bird seemed oblivious to the tremendous waterfall that lay ahead. And at the same time, a hunter was walking down the path along the river's edge. Seeing the huge bird perched high on the iceberg, the hunter clapped his hands and cried out, "Mr. Eagle, Mr. Eagle, fly away, fly away. There's danger up ahead." The eagle merely shrugged his great wings as though to say, "Don't bother me. I know what I'm doing." And as the iceberg moved closer and closer to the waterfall, the hunter cried out in a loud voice, "Fly away, Mr. Eagle. There's a waterfall ahead." And again, the eagle merely shrugged his wings as to say, "Stop bothering me. I can take care of myself." And at that moment, the eagle looked down just in time to see that the iceberg had reached the brink of the waterfall and was about to go over the edge. He spread his magnificent wings and prepared for the immediate takeoff, but he was unable to rise. His claws were frozen in the ice, and he went down with the iceberg. Now, sisters and brothers, with considerable justification, we must admit, we modern-day Christians have often been referred to God's frozen chosen. The same great God who offered his presence in Christ Jesus to the New Testament Christians still offers to us his presence today. But often our response is like the eagles, dull, lethargic, heavy, and lifeless. Often it's the shrug of the shoulders after saying, "Don't bother me, Lord, I can take care of myself. Don't bother me, Lord. I know what I'm doing. Don't bother me, Lord. I'll do it on my own. Stop getting on my nerves, Lord. I got this thing." We remain frozen to the things of this world that offers us a false sense of security. But if we remain indifferent to God's call and refuse to let go of those old things, that old iceberg, we'll go down with it on our own. Romans 6 and 23 reminds us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But God tells us to look at it as God sees it. Brothers and sisters, I'm encouraging you, Park Avenue, to put on your kingdom glasses and see things as God sees them. I want you to know it's not over until God says it's over. You see, sometimes when we go to a sporting event or watch it on TV and our team is not winning as the end draws near, we pick up our stuff and we leave in a huff. Before the home team has had its chance, we won't wait until the last out is made or the last basket is thrown. It only goes to show us, if you quit too soon, you'll leave before victory is experienced. I want to tell you this morning that the jury may still be out on your situation. All votes are not in. The fat lady has not sung. God hasn't had God's final say. Every time we may think that it's all over, God steps in and says, no, it's not. If you don't believe me, just look at your Bible. Even though humanity continues to rebel against God, God still makes a way. Even you continue to rebel against God, and God still opens up a door that the world has shut. But God can open up a door that no man can shut, or open up a window that has been slammed in your face. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can even ask or think in Christ Jesus. And because you may be where you are right now, it doesn't mean that you're going to stay there, because but God is working on your behalf. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard all that God has in store for you. But God says, I have a plan for your life. Plan to prosper, not to harm you. Pride plans to give you hope with the future. But God says, the world may tell you that you ain't nothing, but you are something because you are my child. And there's nothing too hard for God. I have a but God testimony. Do you have a but God testimony? I have a but God testimony. You see, when I was here as your pastor, the last time I stood behind this distinguished pulpit was 3 years, 11 months, and 30 days. No, 3 years, 10 months, and 30 days ago. And I was here trying to encourage you because I know how transition is in the life of a congregation. But I needed encouragement myself. Because I had to leave my home. I had to depart from my wife. I had to leave my son. And I had to go where God had called me. And I didn't like it. I was mad. I was depressed. God sent me from this big church to a small church. And I said, oh God, what did I do? Why did you do this to me? And God didn't say anything. I kept praying, and I said, okay. So I went home to live with my mother. How many of you know you can never go back home again? Amen, somebody. And so after about a year of that, I had to get my own little place. I had a little box apartment, and I was living in that place. Greg came, and she fixed it up. It was all fixed up and stuff, but I was still depressed because it wasn't my home. I was still mad at God. But even in the midst of my anger, I still said, God, your will, not my will. And so I kept on. And God used me in that little church to all of a sudden grow the church, start growing. We went through all kind of drama with musicians, but God bought the nice, right musician with me. I tried to get Marshall to come with me. He said, no, I ain't leaving that Park Avenue. But God sent the musician that we needed. And I kept on praying. I kept on doing what God told me to do. And then, but God started to send folk our way. And then I got a phone call from my district superintendent said, Pastor Dennis, we want you to merge your church with this church. And y'all need to become a new church community. And I said, wow, that's a tremendous opportunity. And so yeah, I used all the skills that you taught me here and brought people together who didn't know one another. But I just reminded them that they were children of God and that God calls us together and that we are united in Christ. And then all of a sudden, but God stepped in. And all of a sudden, things turned around. Leaders started leading. Choir started singing. Folks started praying. Bible scholars started espousing the word. And the next thing you know, God gave us a new name. Transformation Community, United Methodist Church. The reason I'm telling you this is because it was a but God situation. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But God, the master of the sea, heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. So what am I saying to you? Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're involved in, regardless of what you've been through, regardless of what has been broken in your life, how your heart has been wrenched from you, how emotions have been taken from you, but God sees you. And he says, you are important. You are mine. And I love you. How many of you know that God loves you? He loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. But God. I pray that you are applauding God because of what God has done. I don't deserve any applause. It's all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. And if you're here today, and if you have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to take the, can I do that? If you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is a good day. It's a good day because it's a new opportunity to live in the possibility and potential of a God who's too wise to create you and leave you just to be his creation. He has endowed you with gifts and abilities and wants to use you for the task of ministry. And so if you're here today and you have not stepped on the right side of God, it's a good day. It's a good day. And if you're here and you're struggling, you've been dealing with some stuff, or some stuff has been dealing with you, got some relationship issues, got some job issues, you got some personal issues, say issues. We all have them. But the secret is not to carry those things. You can give them to Jesus. And Jesus can deal with your issues much better than you ever could. And so I'm here in front of this powerful symbol of God's transforming power, this altar. And I invite you to come for prayer and even for anointing if you're dealing with and navigating through the vicissitudes of life and you need a way forward. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you're here and you just want prayer or you want to say, Jesus, here I am, we extend the invitation for you to come. In Jesus' name. So perhaps I didn't say anything. Service didn't do anything. Perhaps there's something that music can do to push you to make an important decision that will affect your life for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.
Questions for tomorrow. There were times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consultation. He said, trials come to own.